You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. With this current legislative session set to be the longest in Idaho history, some log jams are finally clearing up in the State House, one being the contentious higher education budget. Now, the House did approve the budget on a 49-20 vote earlier this week. Even though the budget still needs to pass the House, this vote, well, it was a critical one. Joining us live to talk more about this is Kevin Richert with Idaho Ed News. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Gemma. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hey, Kevin, before we talk about this, I wanted to let people know, if they haven't heard, that there was a school shooting at Rigby Middle School this morning. This is over in eastern Idaho. Kevin, I know you've got a reporter covering this, but can you get us updated as to what we know? We are live at noon, and we do rebroadcast at 8 p.m. So if you are listening at 8 p.m., the details may be a little bit different, but what do we know as of now at noon today?
What we know as of noon is that there was a shooting at Rigby Middle School. We know that three people were injured, two students and a school custodian. It's believed at this point that none of those injuries are life-threatening, and a suspect has been taken into custody. That's about all we know at this point at noon. And as you said, we have a reporter, Devin Bodkin, our Eastern Idaho reporter, is on the scene. So we will have updates throughout the day at idohoednews.org. And listeners to the 8 o'clock repeat of this should read our article for more current information.
Yeah, and it is just something I think, Kevin, as parents, not as journalists, it's your greatest fear when you send your children off to school each day.
Absolutely,
because
send two kids to school.
We've seen so many of this.
Yeah. No, it's
yeah.
It is the nightmare scenario, and we'll have more details on this story as the day progresses.
Well, let's talk about some other news regarding education, and this is the higher ed budget. Now, Kevin, take us back to March, because this was when, in fact, a larger budget for higher education was approved in the Senate.
Right. So this has been 2 months in the making. And you're right. What happened back in March, the Senate approved a higher education budget that was more or less in line with what Governor Little had recommended way back in January. The one change that it made was it did cut $409,000 from the Boise State University budget, shifted that over to Lewis Clark State College. That budget passed the Senate. It overwhelmingly failed in the House. Basically, the sponsor on the House floor said, I want you to vote this budget down because I want us to go back to the budget committee and take another run at writing the budget. Well, that's what happened. So the new version of the budget, and it has now passed both houses. It passed the House on Monday, the Senate on Tuesday. It's a smaller budget than Governor Little recommended, and it's about $2 million less than the original version of the budget. And the big moving pieces in the budget the second time around, it's a deeper cut for Boise State University. Now we're talking about a $1.5 million cut for Boise State. University of Idaho, Idaho State University each see a $500,000 cut. And it all goes back to this debate over social justice, mm-hmm. critical race theory, indoctrination on campus. That's where the cuts came from. I mean, it was the legislature's response to the outcry over concerns about indoctrination on the campuses.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin, let's before we talk a little bit more about this idea of sending a message, I do want to go back to these actual financial cuts, because when we talk about $1.5 million to Boise State's budget, that is not an insignificant amount of money. Any word at this point as to how that could potentially impact Boise State? I mean, now, as you mentioned, University of Idaho, Idaho State University, both a $500,000 cut. So, they're going to have to deal with that as well.
It's going to have a tangible effect on Boise State University in particular, because that's where I can talk to you about them. The three universities have been pretty tight-lipped about the budget request, the new budget, and the potential effects from the cuts. But back in March, when the first version of the budget came out, I did have the chance to speak to Marlene Tromp about the impacts at Boise State. And she said a $409,000 cut would have an effect on people. That's where you have to make cuts. You're going to have to maybe, you know, look at leaving positions dark, or maybe you look at furloughs or anything to kind of, you know, balance the books. And when you do that, that can have an effect on class offerings. That can have a, you know, it may make it more difficult for students to get the course requirements that they need to stay on track to graduate on time. So even at $409,000, President Trump was saying that her university was going to feel the effects. Now we're talking about a $1.5 million cut. So I can only imagine that the impacts will be greater.
So once again, let's go back to this idea surrounding social justice and critical race theory. I mean, this seems to be a common thing in the state house this session, and there were certain lawmakers in particular who have said they want to send a message to these institutions. Two of them being Representative Ron Nate and Representative Heather Scott. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, Kevin, why they feel so strongly about this, and frankly, what they've done to urge that, you know, to urge other lawmakers to not pass this, even though we should note it has finally passed.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a very hardline cadre of lawmakers in the House that have been upset about higher education funding and have been upset about what they see as the political bent of the higher education system. This goes back 2 years now. This goes back basically to Marlene Trump's first days as president at Boise State University. She was called out by a group of conservative House members who said that they wanted to see Boise State get out of the business of funding diversity programs or inclusion programs. And now the terminology has really focused more on indoctrination, on social justice, on critical race theory. And so you have this very emotional, very visceral criticism of the universities, but there hasn't been a whole lot of detail. And, you know, this kind of goes back to how much money are we talking about? You know, how much of an impact, you know, how much money are these, you know, universities that are on fairly tight budgets, how much money is really going into these kind of social justice programs? You know, back in March, when the first budget came out, the sponsors of the budget said that the $409,000 reflected what Boise State said it had spent on social justice programs. Well, now we're up to a $1.5 million cut for Boise State, cuts now for University of Idaho and Idaho State University that are clearly, this is a political number. This is not a number that reflects any, you know, hard evidence about the cost of social justice programs at the universities. On the other side of the spectrum, you have the Idaho Freedom Foundation and lawmakers like Ron Nate saying, no, wait a minute, it's a $20 million social justice apparatus going on at the universities, and we need to cut $20 million out of the budget, not $2.5 million. Now, nobody to my knowledge, and I've asked repeatedly, has been able to really quantify how you get to that $20 million figure. If you're going to toss that $20 million figure around, you ought to show your work, right? You ought to, you know,
right,
provide some evidence to back up that claim. This has been a debate that has really been about anecdotes. It's been about narratives. It's been really a debate that's shy in details. That's actually a story that I'm working on today that I'll publish later in the day. As I listened to the debates this week, you know, on the House floor and on the Senate floor, and re-listened to some of the debates that I found most interesting, we're still talking in terms of narratives. We don't have a hard sense of what's really happening on these campuses.
Oh, right. I mean, and some lawmakers have even said, I believe, that they're doing this proactively, right, to make sure that these things don't happen. With that said, though, can we talk about the K-12 budget, Kevin? Because in particular, teacher pay, because what, about 3 weeks ago, the House voted down the teacher salary budget. And I mean, the concern here, Kevin, is that school districts have to set budgets. They have to set salaries for teachers.
And that's why this week's break in the logjam was so important to the K-12 system, especially, because you're right. This is contract negotiation season in school districts all over the state. And you have to remember that teacher salaries and teacher contracts, those are figured out at the local level. That's school boards and teachers groups, teachers unions sitting down at the bargaining table saying, here's how much money we have. How are we going to spend it? Yeah, here's what we can offer in terms of salaries. Here's what we can cover in the way of benefits. You know, let's come to the table and come to an agreement. That's happening right now, and it's happening all over the state. And it's, you know, it's pretty hard to negotiate a contract for a school year, a school budget year that begins on July 1st when you don't know how much money you have. So
right.
Passing the teacher salary budget, and the teacher salary budget passed both houses unanimously this week. That's a pretty important step for school trustees and for local teachers groups across the state. It at least gives them an idea of what is coming in the way of state assistance, and what mm-hmm. the state budget will do is it effectively provides funding that could cover, you know, 2 years worth of movement on the state's teacher salary schedule. So it's a pretty significant budget.
So where are we in terms of the session itself, Kevin? I mean, what are we on day 116? Is there an actual end in sight?
This is where I kind of wish we were on camera and not just on radio, because I would just post the shrug emoji. Because you're right, it's day 116 of the session. We know this much, that the House and the Senate worked late into the evening on Wednesday to finish up pretty much all the work that they had on their dockets. And now they're on recess. They will come back on Wednesday, May 12th. Why is that date so important? Well, now it gives Governor Little 5 working days to decide whether to sign or veto all of the bills that have come before him in these past few days. Now, we know he's going to sign the teacher salary bill, but there are other pieces of legislation that are coming to him that he may very well veto. We don't know. And lawmakers don't know. So by going into a recess and coming back next week, the lawmakers reserve the right to try to override a governor's veto, which they were not able to do successfully on mm-hmm. the 2 emergency powers bills that the governor vetoed. So I don't really know what to expect. We know they'll be back on Wednesday the 12th. It could be a fairly short session. It could be, you know, they may not have much work to do if there are no vetoes to consider overriding. Or do they come back in a week with other pieces of legislation that they want to pursue at the last minute? You know, we really don't know.
Okay,
but that's kind of par for the course for this legislative session. But we know this much, Gemma. When they come back, it will be day 122 of the Idaho legislative session. Oh. It is the longest session in state history. It is the latest in the calendar year that a legislative session has continued on into May 12th. Never been there before. So it's historic, I guess. You can, you know,
if we're
watching history unfold.
So, all right. But we do know that some Democrats wanted to wrap the session yesterday. There's also this idea of going into recess even after the 12th, though, until September. We've heard that as well. But then, Kevin, we've had lawmakers, I mean, who are basically refusing to end the session. Many state employees may not get paid if they don't balance the budget, because we could go into a partial government shutdown. But then these same lawmakers are complaining that they might not get their per diem if
yes.
things don't stop. This is, okay, please explain this.
There's a lot there. But let's talk
so
about
so much
recess.
To unpack.
Yeah, let's take it bit by bit here. But yes, the debate over the 6-day recess, you had a few conservative legislators, or, you know, conservative hardliners, I would say, folks like Heather Scott, Theodore Barbieri, protesting the recess, and protesting it partly because they will not be paid per diem during the recess. That was part of the deal. You know, both these lawmakers from North Idaho saying, you know, this is a financial hardship. They're going to be, you know, having to maintain their apartment in Boise for this 5 days, and they're not going to be paid to cover that. Again, these are lawmakers who, fancy themselves as some of the most conservative members of the House, and their complaints about per diem, that did not go unnoticed on Twitter. There were a number of folks who called out the lawmakers on that. Now, as for the state employees, and that's an important development here. So the legislature believes that they've passed a bill that will resolve that issue, that basically allows all of these budgets to go into effect whenever the legislative session adjourns, so that the budgets will go into effect on July 1st, so that state agencies can continue to pay state employees. So that was one piece of the puzzle that came into place this week. And it's kind of a workaround to try to avoid any constitutional questions about the budgets. It's complicated. There's a lot we're unwrapping here, and we'll see what unravels when people come back next week.
Well, here's what I got out of that then. We do know they'll wrap up by June 30th. So the budget can be balanced for July 1. So
I don't even know if that's the case. I mean, I assume it's going to be done by June 30th, but I think what this bill does is it says all these budget bills go into effect immediately, or go into effect on July 1st, irrespective of when the legislature actually adjourns.
Well, Kevin, I appreciate your reporting on this as well as, continuing to cover this historic legislative session. We've been talking.
Yeah, we just
Kevin
clarified everything. Listeners are like, "Oh, everything totally makes sense."
Yeah, everything makes sense.
All falls
now.
Into place now for us.
Yeah. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.